When you think about the fact that they swim 2.4 miles, that they bike ride 112 miles, and then they run a 26.2 mile marathon, that's endurance. Can you imagine what it must be like to muster up the energy? Not only the physical energy, but even in your mind, if you are going to run a triathlon, compete in a triathlon, that you have to have endurance.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Going for the Gold, Endurance. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Going for the Gold, Endurance.
The sin should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you are healed, Peter tells us. And I like, let me take your mind to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick, where we read this. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. That, I heard somebody put it like this. Justification. You got two books, right? You got the book of your life with your name on it, and in that book is all your mess. Oh, I mean, everything that you've ever done wrong is in that book. All the evil words, all the evil thoughts, all the evil deeds that you've ever done is in this book with your name on it. And there's another book. And on this book, it says Jesus Christ the righteous. And in this book, it has who Christ is, his character, his loveliness, his grace, his mercy, all those, his forgiveness, all those things are in the book. And on the cross, God took the cover off of both books. He took the cover that was on Christ's book and he put it on our book. He took the cover that was on our book and on Calvary he put it on Christ. And at that moment, we were justified. At that moment, all the mess that was in our book, God covered it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now when God looks at us, all he sees is the cover of Jesus Christ over our book. I heard somebody put it like this, that God and Christ are in heaven. And whenever somebody sins, God puts another one on their record. Another one on their record. Every time they sin, he puts another one on their record. But those who have been covered with the book, with the cover of Jesus Christ, when we sin, God goes to put it on our account, and Jesus Christ said, no, I got them covered. I got them covered. And so what Peter is telling us is justification. That the reason that Christ endured, he could have came down off of the cross. He could have stepped away from it. But he endured. Why? Because he wants you to be justified. He wants you to be justified. But not only do we see justification that allowed him to continue to endure, but also reconciliation. Reconciliation. For you were sheep going astray, but now are returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That's reconciliation. You were alienated from God. You balled your fist Now, I know not all of us. Some of us grew up in the church. We praise God for you. You just maybe didn't ball you. You just didn't ball it as tight as some of us did. You kind of had one of them loose balls. We balled our fist and we shook it in the face of God. And it wasn't that God turned his back on us. We turned our back on God. And Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You turned, I turned, and Christ came. God loved us so much that he sent Christ. And God's sending Christ was his extending his arm to those who had turned away from him. And God tapped some of us on the back, and some continued to walk away. But praise God, hopefully many of you, when he tapped you on the back, you saw the hand of mercy. You heard the voice of cheer. And just the time you needed him, he was always near. And you turned around and you grabbed the hand, and God pulled you back to himself, and he hugged you, and he were reconciled with him. And Peter said that we have returned to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. And why did Christ endure the cross? He endured it so that we might be justified. He endured it so that we might be reconciled. Oh, the end of endurance for Christ. Let's look at the excellence of endurance. The excellence of endurance. Notice that Peter says two things about it. He said it's thankworthy, and he said it's acceptable to God. That when you suffer unjustly, that this is, he says, the King James says, thankworthy. What's that word thankworthy mean? It means it's commendable, because it's evidence of God's grace in your life. That when you suffer unjustly, that when you suffer in this life, that if you do it and you endure through it, God said that this is commendable. That you know, again, I know when we go through, man, it's hard, man. It's hard not to want to give up, give out, and give in. But you got to endure. You got to keep on going, because you know what it says in this verse right here when he says it's thankworthy? Let me remind you again. He said it's thankworthy, and that means it's commendable because it is evidence of God's grace. That when you make it through, the only way you're going to make it through is by the grace of God. Father, I'm suffering. Father, you know this wasn't right. Father, you know this was unjust. You know, Lord, that I didn't deserve this. Lord, I tried to live my life according with your will. And now I find myself in this time of heartache, tribulation, and suffering. God, it just don't seem fair. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Man, sometimes the only thing that's going to get you through is the grace of God. Is the grace of God. He said that this is thankworthy. It's commendable, because it's evidence of God's grace in your life. What's evidence of God's grace in your life? It's when you go through trials and tribulation and you suffer unjust and you do it with endurance. God says this is thankworthy. He says not only is it thankworthy, but he also says that it's acceptable. that it might be hard, but this is acceptable with God, the excellence of endurance. And let me close out with my third point, the example of endurance. In 1 Peter, we read, "For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." My goodness. Pastor Glaze is not your example. Deacons and deaconesses are not your example of suffering. Yeah, we can look at earthly illustrations, and if like Joni Erickson Tata, you know, we can look at her and say, man, we can learn lessons from that. We can learn some things. But she is not our example of suffering, because all these earthly examples come up short. When you take the fact that it was God who stepped out of glory, who came to this earth for 30 some years, and at the end of that time, he suffered. Nobody can suffer like God suffers. He suffered to the nth degree. So he is our example. And we were called to follow in his footsteps. And what are some things that we see? Three things that we see. First of all, he stayed the course. My goodness. He stayed the course. It says, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. It'd been easy for him to get off course, to want to lighten the load. You know, it's like the guy on the rack, right back in the Middle Evil times. Remember they had that rack where they would stretch the guy out on the rack, and they'd start cranking that thing, and he would be stretched more and more, and then he would get to the point, oh, I can't take it. I can't take anymore. And then they would crank it one more time. And he'd say, oh, don't do it again. I can't take it anymore. And they'd crank it again. When you think about Christ, he was being stretched. You know, and I shared this before, man. Oh, my goodness. You know, when you study the history of capital punishment, and you see in the Old Testament, you know, there was stoning. You see in the Old Testament, they threw people to the lion's den. You know, you see in other places where there was the firing squad, right? And just think about all those forms of capital punishment. Relatively, it was over the guillotine, right? Another form. Capital punishment. Relatively, it was over in a short amount of time. The most heinous form of capital punishment was to die on a cross. Because, first of all, it was embarrassing. You know, they stripped them down. Not, you know, some people say they were naked, and others say, well, they had, you know, stripped them of their overgarments, and they just had, well, whatever the case might be. It was embarrassing. And then sometimes you would hang there for a long period of time suffering. And what they would do is that, because asphyxiation basically was the way that you died from crucifixion. And so you'd be hanging there on the cross, and all of a sudden you would go down, and now you can't breathe. And so what do? You do all that you can just to push yourself up a little bit, just to get some air. And so that was one of the most heinous forms of capital punishment. And the Bible says that Christ came in the fullness of time, right? There was a Roman road system. There was a system of communication. There was Koine Greek, which was the lingua franca of the kingdom. But the other thing, the Romans, capital punishment by death on the cross. And while he was there, it says that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. How many of us hanging on a cross? Think about all the people that was responsible for us being on the cross. And not only that, but the people who nailed you to the cross. How many of us would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, we be gritting and we be thinking about those who were responsible for us being there. And that's why the scripture says endurance. If you got endurance, your mind is right. Right? Your mind is right. Sometimes I think when we think wrongly, nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. Right? But if you find yourself there, try to have the mindset of endurance. And we pray that God heals people. We pray for their healing. But if Pastor Glaze comes to pray for you, I'm not only going to pray for your healing, I'm going to pray for your endurance. I didn't get too many amens on that, but that's okay. You say, well, don't come see me when I'm. Because I've been at this game long enough now. I've been in ministry for a long time. I prayed with a lot of people that were sick. And I know the reality of it is that some don't come through. And the only thing that they got to make it through is the grace of God. God, just give me strength. Lord, help me to hold up just a little while longer. And I believe that was a prayer of Christ when he came to the Father and he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, give me grace and strength to be able to see this thing through. He stayed the course. He kept his testimony throughout that time. He stayed the course. The second thing that we see is not only did he stay the course, but he navigated the obstacles. He navigated the obstacles. It says, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. That those who cussed him out, he didn't go into a vulgar tirade of cussing them out. That when he suffered, that he didn't say, hey, if I get down off of this cross, I'm coming after you. He didn't say that. I was reading some of the headlines from, I like college football, man. Especially since Pitt and Penn State, like yesterday, they were 7-0, right? So I've been trying to follow and see how things are going. But I read this one article about this commentator, right? He used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. His name was Jason Kelsey, right? And y'all know his brother, right? All y'all know his brother because his brother dates Taylor Swift, right? So he was at the Penn State game yesterday. And as he was walking through the crowd, somebody started heckling him. And they made a derogatory statement against his brother. And he went up to the person, grabbed a cell phone out of their hand, and smashed it on the ground. I said, oh, my goodness. Right? And I thought about that. Was a good illustration. Right? It was a good illustration of this verse right here. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. My man, look, you got all, you ended your career, with a great name. Now you got a commentator's job, right? People start heckling you, right? They start, And I know, man, I know that it can get on your nerves. I know it can grit your very spirit, right? But you got to have some hoopomenace, man. You know, you got to have some endurance. And that when people are saying stuff, man, you got to know how to not roll off your back, right? And what? Keep it moving. You got to learn how to keep it moving, right? Because people are going to talk about you. You know, a long time ago, somebody wrote the song, "There's Always Somebody Talking About Me." Really, I don't mind. They try to block and stop my progress most of the time. The mean things you say, they don't make me feel bad because I can't miss a friend I never had. This guy was never his friend, right? I got Jesus, and that's enough. Jesus navigated the obstacles. And when you live this life, you got to learn how to navigate the obstacles. You know, you can't revile and you can't try to get retribution. That you got to keep it moving. Let me close with my last point, and it's this. The example of endurance. He submitted to the judgment of the Father. Notice what it says. But he committed himself to the one that judges righteously. Lord, so let me give you another football illustration, right? Another football. Have you ever watched a football game and somebody got tackled and they're on the ground and then all of a sudden somebody jumps on top of them and another person they jump on? You know what they call that? Piling on, right? Piling on. And you know, sometimes in life, man, you get piled on, right? You get knocked down and you land down. Come on, man, look, at least give me, I'm on the ground, man. Look, give me a break. And sometimes life don't give you a break. It just gets piled on. And you just want to say, man, going back to my opening slide, you want to give up, give out, or give in, right? Man, they done piled on. Isn't Christ an example? They piled on. 7 unfair trials, beaten with a whip, put a crown of thorns on his head, slapped him in the face, spit in his face, nailed him to a cross, punctured his, man, if that's not piling on, I don't know what is. And what did he do? He submitted himself to the judgment of the Father. And in my mind somewhere, I think of the song that Dr. Jones leads the choir, that in a strength, not my own. In a strength, not my own. He committed himself to the one who judges righteously. That I can't do this in my own strength. I can't live this life. I can't face this persecution. I can't handle these trials in my own strength. I need the strength of the one who judges righteously. I need a strength, not my own. And my friend, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have seen what it means to go for the gold. In spite of suffering, in spite of obstacles, in spite of persecution, in spite of trials and tribulation, that we can still go for the gold and use Christ as our.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1, from our series Going for the Gold. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Going for the Gold, Endurance, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Going for the Gold, Endurance. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Going for the Gold, Endurance, from our series, Going for the Gold. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Going for the Gold, is made available by request. When you visit our website, incurredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit incurredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Incurred in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, incurredinjesus.org, or send it to Incurred in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is incurredinjesus.org, or you can send a financial contribution to Incurred in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Incurred in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is a high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can anchor in the Lord.